Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God gave me a Ferrari because I am a Ferrari. You're a Ferrari too.
When God made you, he had all the options put on. You are fully loaded and totally equipped.
So do this with me.
Where did we ever come up with the style of preaching we have today? There is some entertaining preaching, but not convicting preaching, and the legacy has been tragic.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
All right, Megyn Kelly. We will do something. This is Wretched Radio. You, of course, know Megyn Kelly, formerly of Fox News, now on Sirius Satellite. Kind of miss being on that network. She did some tweeting that caused some ripples, covered by Not the Bee, confessing, I was a part of the problem. What problem? The trans insanity, as she describes it, that we are mutilating children, that we are causing damage to little bodies that will endure for a lifetime. And this is not her first apology, but she is persuaded even more that we need to not just be opposed to it, but we need to oppose it. In other words, we need to do something. That is the battle cry of the day. It is also the battle cry du jour. It's delicious. I think I'll have it. And we, here at Gospel Partners Media, have heard the request and sometimes demand, do something. And we're going to do something about it. We see it. We've observed it for years. Not just our culture and country, but the church. The brave new world assaults on truth. They abound and we all feel it, don't we? For varying reasons to varying degrees, we are all a little bit angsty about all of the insanity that is going on in our world as they devolve further and further into darkened mind territory. And it causes us to want to cry out, we got to do something! The question is, what do we do? Megyn Kelly tweeted out that she's really sorry that she used to be trans-affirming. She said this, I used approved terms like gender-affirming care for medicinal gender manipulations, cis to refer to the natural. In other words, she used all the lingo. I smiled and listened politely as a guest told me, gender is just a social construct. My question is, does gender have anything to do with biology at all? Does biology matter? Now, are we supposed to trust the science here? I wanted to be supportive of those who were suffering. So I would use more evolved language. I didn't see the harm. She's not a dumb woman. She didn't see the harm. It is indeed worth the time and the effort and sometimes the danger to enter into the public discourse on these subjects and speak truth and try to varying degrees to reason with people. Why? How can we do that to children? How can we let adults do that to their own bodies? Well, Megyn somehow got enlightened. And now she said this, if you're not actively fighting against this, you are part of the problem. May I ask, how many times have you heard that battle cry? I hear it regularly. I read it regularly. I read way more than we discuss here, tossing most stuff away. But it is a perpetual battle cry that we've got to get off the sidelines and do something. Megyn Kelly, you're hurting people who are vulnerable, who have been hurt. You have to fight. And then she does offer this, whether it is a donation, she doesn't say to whom, or using your voice, I don't know what that looks like, or retweeting support for people. Do it. Do something. Well, I have to confess, we got a little tired of hearing that refrain. We've grown a little bit energized, shall we say, by the constant encouragements that we Christians that aren't willing to do something. We're the reason that this country is going right down the tubes. We got to do something. And inevitably, when you ask that person who is commanding you to do something, what are we supposed to do? Their answer is, we'll be back in a minute. Here's a word from one of our sponsors, because they don't have much that they can recommend. Now, Megyn Kelly, at least to her credit, said you can retweet something. Okay, that's fine. Well, here at Gospel Partners Media, we've decided to do something bigly. I cannot tell you now, but in give or take 2 weeks, we are going to be announcing a major initiative here at GPM. It is our desire to do something. And frankly, not because we're being goaded on by conservative commentators, but because we are energized and motivated for really two reasons. We love the Lord. We want to see Him loved and adored by people. And second, we want people to know the joy of the Lord. We see the floundering. We see the lostness, the pain and suffering, the depression, the suicide. And so we decided, all right, what could we do? And we've created a new initiative, the details of which I cannot share at the moment. It's I think, going to make a difference. And I think you're going to be really excited about it. I think you're going to go, whoa, that is bold. That is a brave new Christian response to a brave new world. We will be sharing those details in the weeks ahead, encouraging you to get involved. And now here's the way you can do something. Three things that you can do to help us, join us in doing something. One, would you please, when the Lord brings us to mind, or jot it down in your journal, would you pray for us? We want to try to help. We want to try to do something. We want to try to reach more people. We want to try to encourage the saints. We want to try to encourage local pastors who are taking a beating these days. I can't tell you the number of preachers who I have spoken to who talk about the current pressure of just doing church, because so many people listen to outside voices. And I have a confession to make. Have you been watching the scuttle between Candace Owen and Ben Shapiro in the Daily Wire? All right, I have not dived into it deeply because they're just going to do what they're going to do. But this is my takeaway from it. Are the number of Christians, and everybody, you know, kind of picking sides because of what she said and their response, and they fired her apparently, and she's not going to be there because of statements she made about Jewish people. No, there's no way I would comment on that because I don't even know what she said. But what I saw are the number of people over at the Daily Wire commenting on it through the lens of their religion. How many Christians listen to the Daily Wire? Ben Shapiro brings his worldview. He puts it through a Jewish lens. Now, you've got, I saw Andrew Klavan. I saw a little snippet of him talking about how he's not worried about the eternity of Ben Shapiro and Jordan Peterson because of all of the good that they do. And he's a professing Christian. But I do believe he's a Roman Catholic, as is and Knowles, what's his name, Jimmy? You listen to the Daily Wire all the time. Knowles is one of the broadcasters.
Michael Knowles.
Michael Knowles, Roman Catholic. I hear Candace Owen is moving toward Catholicism. Why would we be listening to people who actually bring their religion to their commentary and expect it to be as biblical as it should be? And they are some of the voices that get us stirred up and whipped up. You got to do something. You got to get involved. You got to do something. Don't just sit on the sidelines. And then there are other podcasters that are encouraging a strident Christianity, a rebellious sort of Christianity. And guess what? They're finding their way into more conservative churches, and they are causing a fair amount of strain on the pastors. Hey, when are you going to start preaching about this from the pulpit? Huh? You're part of the problem because you won't speak up. That is a pressure that is real and it is palpable. And we'd like to do something to help those guys, to support those guys. We will be sharing more of that in the days ahead. But another way that we want to help, I mentioned this last week, the local pastor probably receives 10 times more discouragement than encouragement. And some of it, not all of it, but some of it comes directly from the mouths of believers who just go at him or gossip about him, cause trouble. But he also gets discouraged just because he prays fervently for some people and they just continue to flounder. It can be discouraging. Financial issues, family pressures, time management. And then you've got people who are entering and going, hey, pastor, you got to deal with this. And then as of late, he's had to deal with COVID, mass jabs, distancing, CRT, CN, just all of these things. And so I get the pleasure today to sit down with three pastors to encourage them to reveal what it is like to be a local shepherd. Because I'm telling you, they're the key. They're the key. If you want to do something, if you want the nation to change, remember, politics flows downstream from the headwaters of religion, then the Christian church needs to be strong. And the only way that that is going to happen, aside from the power of God, is if our shepherds are trained, encouraged, and strengthened. We want to do something to that end. And we're gonna. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. We certainly appreciate it when you tune in and you listen to Wretched Radio and you check out our other resources that are available at wretched.org. Thank you for listening. We couldn't do this without you, because who would listen? Who would watch? We need people to watch and listen in order to continue doing this. So thank you for supporting us in that way. Now, if you would like to take our relationship to a higher level, we also need your support financially, because just like if we don't have listeners and viewers to listen to and view the content, we can't produce it. Well, if we don't have the financial resources, we also can't produce the content we produce. And so we need your help in that regard as well. So if you've ever considered becoming an ongoing monthly Wretched Gospel partner, we would certainly appreciate that. We have answers for any questions you could possibly have available at wretched.org/donate. That's wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Well, in a world that is undeniably cluttered with quick fixes and superficial solutions, now comes a journey into the heart of real change. I'm talking about Transformed Season 3. It's finally here, and we're inviting you into the lives of individuals that are facing the giants of fear and guilt and grief. But hey, there's a twist. These aren't your typical battles. These battles have been fought with the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. You'll witness loneliness and overeating and relational tension met with grace, truth, and love that can only come from the one who knows us the best. This season's not just about watching others. It's about seeing yourself and your struggles and the path to true transformation through biblical counseling. We'll together dive deep into the heart of what it means to be transformed. Transformed Season 3 can be found right now at wretched.org/transformed3.
Important dates in Christian history. 270 AD. A wealthy young man named Antony gives away his possessions and begins life as a hermit. Disciples follow his example, and the first monastic movement began.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Jimmy. Oh, you have little faith. This is Wretched Radio. I know now that I only got to one of the three things you can do to help us do something. I know that. Now that you reminded me of
you're
it.
You're welcome.
But I can't believe you think that I somehow didn't complete a thought. This is Wretched Radio. We're going to be doing something. We're going to be announcing it. Would you please pray for us? And, okay, this is a teaser. Pray for the men who are going to be joining this ministry. Oh, man, Scylla. You're just going to go, that rocks. That's about the smartest thing y'all have ever done, which I recognize is not saying much. Nevertheless, we are offering a new initiative in an effort to strengthen local shepherds, to strengthen local churches, local believers. This is where the dialogue on stuff needs to happen. This is where the discipleship happens. This is where the paracleting takes place, not on social media. It's social media. All of it should serve the local church. Who said this? I was listening to somebody. Ligon Duncan. He's making the rounds on social media right now because he was talking about the podcasters and the social media folks who pontificate, typically from a basement, who pontificate and tell everybody what to do, and they're LARPers. Are you familiar with the term? I actually learned it out of Kennesaw State in the big quadrangle where the kids hang out, where the classrooms surround the green. And there are people out there inevitably on nice days that are dressed up like knights. Some are dressed up like dragons, a damsel in distress, and they do live action role play. So it's sort of like Renaissance Festival with voluntarily, not for money. And it's called live action role playing. And Ligon Duncan said that's what a lot of these loud voices are. They're LARPers. They're live action role playing, but it's not reality. Reality is found in the church. Are we to have opinions on many of these brave new world issues? Of course we are. We're to judge all things. But the question is, how are we to judge one another and how are we to interact with one another on these issues? And we hear podcasters, we hear loud voices, whatever, some Christian, some not Christian, do something. You got to be involved. You got to get going. You're the problem. And then they tell you that they start complaining about these pastors who aren't doing anything. These squishy pastors. No doubt there are some squishy pastors who aren't going to do anything. But not all of them. They're making decisions based on the needs of their people. They're discipling people, which is what is missing from podcasts typically when it comes to communicating positions or opinions. It's not real. It's not face to face. It has no paracleting involved. That it has no Jude 17 involved. All right, I think this probably will make the point the most clear. Jude 17, it's the letter from the half-brother of Jesus Christ. And he wanted to write about the gospel. But lo and behold, he said, I just had to encourage you to contend for the faith once given for all time. But then he closes it like this. There are grumblers, complainers. Don't be that in your church. Don't bring that in. You got to check that at the door and try to uproot it from your heart. A murmurer, a factious person. Do you know how many strikes you get for being a factious person? 2. Warn them once, second time, you're gone. Because that sort of acrimonious division is not what Jesus desires in the church. And no, I'm not saying that we jettison theology. I am saying that we aren't. Look, I'm just reading it to you. Don't be a grumbler and a complainer. Just don't do it. There it is. There's the text. And this, by the way, is why so many pastors maybe aren't. Now, they could be wrong about it. I'm not saying that. But let's just try to understand the local pastor maybe doesn't talk about some of these cultural issues because that's just not the text. on Sunday morning, Alpharetta Bible Church. My text was Matthew 7, 1 through 12. It was a pretty big bite. Nevertheless, it was Jesus putting us on the operating table, cutting us open to reveal our hearts and how healthy they're not and how dark they can be. And he does it repeatedly throughout the Sermon on the Mount, revealing you're supposed to love your enemies, not hate them, love them, not be ambivalent, love them. That you commit adultery in the heart when you look with lust, that you're a murderer at heart when you hate, when you're angry at somebody, call somebody a fool. I'm undone. I can't do these things. He concludes, by the way, the landing of the plane. Matthew 5, Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 6, Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 7, 1 through 12, Sermon on the Mount. But then the concluding four paragraphs, it's really the conclusion. Okay, sermon proper has ended. Now, choose wisely, grasshopper. There's two roads, broad, narrow. There's two types of teachers, true, false. There are two people who are seeking heaven. Those who are going to find it and those who don't find it. And there's two foundations that you can build on. You can build it on Christ or you can build it on sand. That's the close to the sermon. But throughout the three chapters, he's just bludgeoning us. Wait a second. Treat your neighbor the way that you want to be treated. That's the close of sermon proper in the Sermon on the Mount. You've been doing that every time you could? So the way that you want to be treated, the way that I want to be treated, which is like royalty, frankly, and I don't do that, likewise, I'm sinning. It is like Jesus just went, if you don't get the rest of it, that you cannot keep the law, that you need me, here it is. Treat everybody the way that you want to be treated. And it should leave us reeling. And we should say, we can't help. Please help us. We have no ability to be pleasing to God on our own. That's the message of the Sermon on the Mount. And then Jesus says, here I am. Choose wisely. I'm the solid foundation. Follow me. Follow my teachings. And on Sunday, we had to deal with the verses that accuse us, and probably all of us, of being guilty of censoriousness, being judgmental, accusatory. Now, the Greek word for judging that Jesus uses, it's pretty rare in the New Testament. I think it's used three times. And usually it has to do with God's judgment. And it has a sense to it, not just of sifting and sorting, deciding, but it has a sense of authority that I'm standing in judgment over, that it is a legal rendering. And Jesus says, don't do that. Now, of course, we've got the rest of the Bible. We've got church discipline. What he's after is our hearts. And I have to tell you, it wasn't a peppy message. It was a convicting message. And I can understand why pastors would want to go, I'll just do topical because they're lighter and people will like me. You got a pastor, however, who makes his way through the Bible in an expository fashion, he's going to preach what is in the text. And you got to, if you're an expository fan, please don't shout at your pastor, do you got to preach about these things? You can encourage him and talk to him and share the importance of it, why you're seeing it as a threat and danger to the church and the people of God, by all means. But we're not supposed to be grumblers and complainers, walking according to our own lusts. With great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. He's talking about false teachers. Here we go. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken by the apostles of our Lord, how they told you there would be mockers in the last time. Okay, so we judge. That's what the book is about. These are sensual persons who cause divisions. God hates that. Got to watch out for that. But you, here's the discipleship aspect. Here's the paracleting that only happens in the context of the local church. But you, beloved, building yourselves up, building one another up in the faith, praying, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus. In other words, optimistic, positive, and on some have compassion, making a distinction, there's judgment, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. When I have these conversations with you in the context of the local church, I'm thinking of that because I'm thinking of you and you should be thinking of me. Where am I at in my walk? How weak am I? How strong am I? What am I dealing with? What have I just come out with? Then we talk. And that's always lacking from podcasts. No, that's mostly lacking from podcasts. And so we want to try to have a different voice that says, we're with you, Pastor. We're with you, local church. And we're going to do something, and I think it's a pretty massive effort, and there are indeed three ways. Ha! You didn't think I'd get to it again, didn't you? Jimmy, you're judging me, you crinoler, you. Please pray for us. Share the stuff that we're about to produce en masse, and if you can, to consider financially supporting us. Those are three ways that together we can do something with not being a grumbler, complainer, or censorious. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Wretched News break here on Wretched Radio. I am Jimmy Hicks. We start today in the hallowed halls of academia. Well, not so much. We actually start at Harvard. I don't think they're able to be described as academia anymore. I guess they can. I don't know. Anyway, another case of plagiarism has surfaced at Harvard University. Christina Cross, who's a rising star in the fraudulent field of critical race theory, allegedly lifted entire paragraphs for her, air quote, award-winning doctoral thesis. And she's the fourth Harvard official that's been outed for plagiarism. And that's the reason I'm not calling them the hallowed halls of academia anymore. I could be alone in this assumption, but it seems to me that their commitment is not to academic integrity as much as it is identity politics. And a bold move to protect children, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signed a bill prohibiting kids under the age of 14 from having social media accounts. Good for him. The legislation targets predators, addictive features, and pornography, requiring age verification on adult sites. Trade groups representing tech giants are crying foul. Of course they are, because they're going to start losing money. Florida lawmakers are ready for the fight, however, comparing social media's exploitation of children to trafficking. About time somebody finally took a stand. And staying in Florida, Disney investor Nelson Peltz, not abused by the company's woke turn in Marvel films. He recently questioned the need for all-female or all-black casts, arguing that people go to the movies to be entertained, not lectured. And his comments actually do echo those of the former Marvel Entertainment chairman Ike Perlmutter. Well, in a bid to indoctrinate Christian publishers, the Evangelical Christian Publishers Association has introduced a DEI certification program complete with hours of modules on leadership, editorials, marketing, and more. The Evangelical Christian Publishers Association. Nobody is safe from this dangerous ideology, are they? Well, in Canada, the city of Toronto is considering a rain tax based on the amount of rainwater generated from residents' hard surfaces. Can people actually generate rain? I don't think so. It's just another excuse for the government to take your money, disguised as a solution for an outdated sewer system. What's next? A cloud tax? Come on, a sunny day tax? How about an absurdity tax? Finally, some good news. The Smithsonian Museum in Washington has agreed to pay $50,000 to pro-life tourists who were kicked out for wearing pro-life beanies. The settlement comes after a lawsuit accusing the museum for violating their First Amendment rights and engaging in unconstitutional discrimination. That is a win, and we'll take as many of those as we can get at this point. And that's been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
The fruit of the Spirit is evidence that God is working in us. Every believer will evidence this fruit. But it is important to remember that bearing fruit is a consequence of salvation, not a requirement for salvation. God is working in us and through us, and He is the source of this fruit, not us. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
Spanning the globe to bring you, well, basically the stuff that is stacked on my desk that didn't quite find its way into anything thematic. But we don't like to be incoherent, Friel. You could make us believe that. So what do? Well, you take a theme song, you slap it on a slew of disjointed stories, and you call it wide world of Christian stuff. I think that's what it's called. This is Wretched Radio. Hey, the Olympics are coming up. That's kind of a big deal. I'm amazed, frankly, that America participates. I mean, we wouldn't want to think that we're better than anybody. We wouldn't want to get a gold medal. How contrary is that to the modern zeitgeist? Let's go to New York, shall we? I'd prefer not. Is it safe in New York? Wait, I love Chicago. Okay, sorry, my New York friends. Chicago's my kind of town. And we looked it up recently to see if it's safe to go there. And basically, based on Google, no, it's not. A glorious town, a really good foodie town. Chicago, it's that blend of East Coast, it's where East Coast meets Midwestern sensibility. And it's dangerous. And I think New York, are people touring? Are a lot of people going to New York City? I'll tell you what they're not doing. Dating. This is a headline from Fox News. There's a new term, and this article featured a woman who is going boy sober. That's right. Boy sober. I'm just not dating anymore. And I'm finding myself so much happier now that I've given up on dating. She used to go on 4 dates a month. Woo. That's a lot. That's 48 a year. Woo. That's a lot of dating. And she just couldn't find a fellow. So she's given up. This is nothing but a fruit of a deeper root in our culture. And I'm not sure that we can help society, but we should be helping our young men and our young women in church. I am increasingly convinced that one of the biggest oversights in evangelical churches in the last decade or two has been the acquiescing to the culture regarding not just gender distinctions. No, sometimes we see the need for that. The age distinctions, and having this group meet with that group, and even turning the church into a particular type of service that is attracted to a particular demo so that you can market to them and they'll come because it's got a lot of people like that. That is a really big mistake. Intergenerational ministry, I wouldn't say that this is the go-to text that definitively supports my thinking about the issue of intergenerational ministry, but just take a look at Titus chapter 2, and we see that older men, younger men, older women, younger women, and older women disciple these younger women, and that is so anti-cultural these days. That is so abhorrent to the younger generation. And of course it is. It is a world system idea that causes kids to be cut off from a fountainhead of wisdom. What a tragedy. And we, in my opinion, in the church, I think can be helping young people by encouraging them to spend time, hang out with older people. I was just with a buddy. Yeah, 2 days ago, was with a buddy. And they have 4 couples, young couples from their church, come to their house. I don't know how regular a basis. I think it's monthly. Could be wrong. This is a different couple than the couple I told you about in Texas. They're doing it too. For you. And he said, what I'm trying to do, sometimes we break it up. Sometimes my wife will go with the younger women. Sometimes I'll go with the younger. Sometimes we do a group devotional thing. He said, but I identify these young men. These are going to be potential leaders in the church. How can I build them up to be leaders, not just in the home, but in the church? Whoa. And what do they see while they're having dinner and sharing some fellowship and doing some studying together? They're seeing marriage modeled. Because right now, I believe it is the perception of most young people that marriage is dangerous. That's right, dangerous. It's scary. I could get really hurt. We're going to have separate bank accounts because what if we get divorced and she or he takes all the money? And I'm not going to take his name because that's just, that's scary. And we could be modeling something different to encourage young people. Marriage is groovy. Now, please, for the single people listening, and maybe the single people listening who would like to be married, but the Lord simply hasn't provided a spouse yet. This is not a disparagement of singleness. Not doing that. Because there are many blessings to singleness. Paul basically puts marriage and singleness on the same plane. You would be hard-pressed to determine which Paul thinks is better. But if you were going to tip the ball, you'd probably have to say singleness because of the amount of time that is freed up for a person to serve in the local church. But the normative practice for us, as established in the garden, is marriage. And we need to be propping it up. And we need to resist the temptation of the world to tell jokes about it. Or to, marriage is an institution and I don't want to be institutionalized. That's just not helpful. We need to be letting young people know in the church, don't go boy sober. Be boy wise, but don't go boy sober. Unless, of course, God is calling you to singleness. We can do better in the church at promoting marriage and preparing young people for marriage. You've probably seen this pattern too. Jimmy, do you ever deal with younger people in the congregation that are newly married? They're inevitably shocked. They had no idea that it was going to be like this. And the pattern is so predictable because the young man has no training in husbandry. The young woman has very little or no training in wifery. And now you throw them together without instructions. And what do we expect but destruction? And that's what we're seeing. We could buck the trend. To Idaho we go. Here's some good news. Idaho Governor Brad Little signs bill protecting parental rights in medical decisions. There's a win. On the other hand, the Supreme Court decided to not take the case of the Catholic couple whose child was taken away because they wouldn't affirm the gender confusion. Woof. In the meantime, in Wyoming, it's the 24th state to ban gender transition procedures for minors. It should be for everyone, not just minors. We celebrate that, but I don't think it goes far enough. Hey, Samuel Say made the news. He was a Ghanaian, became a Canadian, and now he's an Ohioan. That didn't quite work out, did it? He's a Christian who does, I like his writing. I just, anytime I read him, it's like, oh, that's really good stuff. He brings an African perspective. Having been a legal immigrant to Canada, his commentary on immigration issues, it has some potency to it. Well, unfortunately, he tweeted, I had to discipline my son tonight. Uh-oh. He used the word discipline. It's not the first time, but I'm heartbroken. It's necessary, but I hate it so much. Clearly, the guy was beating his kid with a rock and then claiming he hates it so much. What actually happened? He had to follow up and explain it. Why? Because there were 50,000 signatures of people saying you need to be turned in to Child Protective Services.
What?
Not kidding. This is the explanation. On that night, my son was unusually difficult. He was sleepy, but though he had a clean diaper and a full belly, those are the two things that really help with sleep, he couldn't stop crying no matter how I held him. So I figured I should place him in his crib. I decided to let him cry in his crib momentarily, which was very hard for me. I was heartbroken, knowing he wanted me to pick him up, but I thought it was necessary. Moments later, he fell asleep and stayed asleep until the morning. I was teaching him how to sleep on his own. That's all. I assume that kind of sleep training falls under the umbrella of discipline. Well, silly Samuel, don't you know that the word discipline, it's even confused by Christians, to be honest. Because tell me, if we did a word association game, which you should never do, and I said discipline. Okay, Jimmy, you got a heads up on this. Word association game. Here it is. Discipline.
Yeah. It's negative is the first thing that comes to your mind.
Negative is right. Spanking.
Yeah.
Wooden spoon, whatever it happened. No, it was letting his kid cry for a bit. And by the way, the kid fell asleep and stayed asleep. He thought that the word discipline actually, you know, included that. 50,000 likes from a tweet calling the authorities to take his child away. 50,000 people think that Samuel Say is an evil man because a tweet lacked explanation and context. If there's any moral to that story, drawing conclusions from a tweet, probably not a really good idea. In fact, how much time we spend on social media, maybe not a good idea. Gen Z is facing early midlife crisis due to social media, says the U.S. Surgeon General. Why are the kids so depressed? They're probably holding it in their hand, or it's residing in their back pocket. This is Wretched Radio. Might I, first of all, thank you for the hundreds of wretches who supported Masters Academy International last year. And if you are now perhaps intrigued by what they do at Masters Academy International, would encourage you to check them out. Yes, we're doing a Bible distribution program with them, but they're training pastors around the globe. Seminary-trained students at the Masters Seminary return to their native land, and they get plugged into a Masters Academy International mini seminary outlet where they teach indigenous pastors how to rightly divide the word of truth. It's brilliant. And these indigenous pastors trained at the Masters Seminary train indigenous pastors. Brilliant. It is a wonderful ministry, and you could be supporting a pastor, you could be supporting a seminary overseas, and you'll be strengthening the local church. You can do that at wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
Are you ready to go on an adventure that tackles life's biggest questions head on? Well, we invite you to join John Fabares and Jake Ream on a riveting journey in Road Trip to Truth Season 4. This season, they're hitting the road to explore deep questions about sin, atheism, racism, and the very nature of truth itself. Through candid conversations with university students and wisdom from experts, this season delivers some unwavering answers from a biblical perspective. Whether it's understanding the reality of heaven and hell, navigating the complexities of marriage, or uncovering the truths about money and forgiveness, Road Trip to Truth Season 4 will be your guide. It's perfect for youth groups, families, or anyone who seeks to defend their faith with confidence. Road Trip to Truth has been more than a series. It's a tool for sparking meaningful discussions and inspiring a commitment to the gospel. So if you're ready to head out on a road trip, buckle up for the truth. Road Trip to Truth Season 4, available now at wretched.org/4.
Record number of children are attending the Tomorrow Clubs in Africa. You should see the videos. Hundreds of kids run to meet at a Tomorrow Club in Africa. Why? Because Tomorrow Clubs, they're weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids, yep, they get some treats, but they get the gospel. They get the Bible. They get Bible memorization. Remember, we used to force our kids to do that, but now that we're oppressors, we don't want to be toxic and make our kids memorize Bible verses when it's about a gazillion times easier than when you get old. And they worship the Lord, they pray together, and they get loved on. Tomorrow Clubs, I'm telling you, record-breaking. The images are so encouraging, so cool, and I would encourage you to consider being a Tomorrow Club partner. $1 per child per month. Encourage you to please consider supporting the great ministry, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called a fragrant offering. In the Old Testament, God required burnt offerings of meat and incense as a pleasing aroma. These sacrifices foreshadowed Jesus, the perfect offering that takes away the sins of the world. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio, spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of, well, let's find out together, shall we? To Canada we go. Do you recall hearing the story? Jimmy, I suspect you reported this on the Wretched News. Planet Fitness. A woman took a picture in the women's locker room, which, by the way, yes, it is against the law, but remember, laws are made for man, and this woman, who apparently confesses to be a Christian, took a picture of a dude standing in the women's locker room with a mere towel wrapped around his waist, shaving his face. And for her troubles, she was booted from Planet Fitness. Well, surprise, surprise, it turns out Planet Fitness is a bigger organization than I thought. Their valuation was $5.6 billion. After the woman got kicked out of the Planet Fitness in Canada, it dropped to $4.95 billion. In other words, they're feeling the sting of their woke policies. And by the way, speaking of woke policies, this is from The Blase. Study finds woke people more likely to be unhappy, anxious, and depressed. This is from the Scandinavian Journal of Psychology, which is fascinating because all of the Scandinavian countries this year, again, reportedly are the happiest countries in the world. And they're really woke, at any rate. This was done in Finland. 3 out of 5 women view woke ideas positively, but only 1 out of 7 men. And that was in Finland. And those that held to woke policies didn't help contribute to their success as the happiest country in the planet. They're depressed. Those who embrace woke ideologies suffered from heightened instances of unhappiness, anxiety, and depression, reportedly suffering 68% higher for anxiety. Oof. And 32.5% higher for depression. This shouldn't surprise us. Wokeism is a religion without a deity, without love, without forgiveness. Of course, your campaign to make the world utopia is going to have negative consequences. It lacks, well, everything that's transcendent. As long as we're in Canada, sort of, well, we were. Most show some discomfort around gender policies. 57% said, I don't like a transgender person taking part in organized sports for people of their current gender identity. That's Canada. Is the pendulum perhaps, maybe, possibly, hopefully swinging to Oklahoma City we go? Dude. Assaults a gas station clerk, caught on camera. I think he wanted some cigars or something. He asked for ID. And the kid in Oklahoma City assaulted the guy, caught on video, along with the sweatshirt that said, "Jesus, save my life." Okay, well, that apparently that was a gift. He didn't buy it because he actually meant it. He was... picked it up from a friend. At Nashville police changing physical fitness requirements in order to hire more women. Here's DEI for you. Not keeping you safe. Who do you want doing particular jobs? The answer has nothing to do with gender. The answer is who can do it best? What kind of surgeon do you want? What kind of airplane pilot do you want? I do not care. I don't care what they watch on Netflix. I don't care how they tie their shoes. Can you fly the plane? Do you know how to wield a scalpel? And can you protect me and my family when push comes to shove, which it often does? In an effort to hire more police officers, this is an initiative where they are trying. It's the 30-30 initiative to advance women in the police force 30% by 2030. See what they did there? Does it matter if they're qualified? No, it just matters that they're women. Once again, I just read an article from Carl Truman, low anthropology. This is just a low view of people aren't safe if the best qualified person doesn't get the gig simply because of their gender. I thought we used to call this discrimination. So what did they do? They lowered the physical agility test. Cool. So the move was a change from the Cooper standard for law enforcement physical assessment. There was a bunch of strength training tests like push-ups, sit-ups, 1.5 mile runs, and vertical jump. Nope, we'll just take that off so we can be progressive. Low anthropology. In France, that's in Europe. Muslims deface 58 graves with messages such as submit to Allah, and France is already Allah's. Cool. Invite them in when their worldview is opposed to yours and wants to dismantle your society? French people, I'm sorry, shouldn't be surprised. Jimmy, did you cover the story of the shooting in Russia? No. That was... It didn't seem to me. I saw it, and I don't even know that I printed it up. I and saw it in passing. It wasn't like it was a big deal. It was Christians, like 130 Christians were mowed down.
Wow.
And guess who took credit for it? Almighty ISIS. ISIS. Mm. ISIS. They took credit for it. Weren't they on the run once upon a time under a different administration?
Yep.
I'm just saying. From Ouch, the National Review, a headline is kind of cheeky. The best women are men. Why do they say that? LGBTQ-focused publication Pink News published an article to honor 10 queer women who've changed the world in the past year. 40% of them are males. So, we're making progress, Jimmy. We're making progress. Argentina, are you familiar with their new president? He's a Catholic fellow, was at a Catholic school in Buenos Aires. Quote, I warn you that to me, abortion is murder, and I can prove it to you from a mathematical, philosophical, and liberal, in other words, freedom, perspective. Good on him. You will not hear that in the fall campaign for president of the United States. No candidate will say that. Not if they want to win in this country. And so we're going to see massive acquiescing by the Republican Party on the subject of abortion because it's not a winning issue. And yet this guy somehow won in Argentina overwhelmingly. He banned the use of gender-inclusive language in the military and the entire public sector. Whoa. Calling abortion a bloody agenda. France, by the way, became the first country in the world to enshrine the right to the procedure in the Constitution. And there are people who want that to happen in America, too. In Greece, church authorities on Corfu. That was a PBS show. And I think, I don't know who produced, BBC, I think. It was about the island of Corfu, some family. We tried to watch it for a minute. It just wasn't our cup of tea, and I can't tell you why, but it sure looked pretty. This church, the Greek Orthodox Church, said to two people who were wanting to back same-sex marriage, you can't be in the church. It is a deep spiritual and moral error. For us, these lawmakers cannot consider themselves active members of the church. We exhort them to repent for their impropriety. I'm not authorizing or giving a recommendation toward the Greek Orthodox Church, but that's the message of the church. That should be the message to politicians that are sinning. You are outside of what God commands. If you're a believer, you better repent because you're persisting in sin. If you are not a believer, you better run to Jesus Christ because you are going to be judged. Speaking of one of those politicians, Governor Mao. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. Maybe coffee. Governor Newsom announces a new hate hotline. Cool. We can tattle on each other. Have we ever seen this before? Yeah. Mussolini, Stalin, Mao, Castro. Get us to turn ourselves against one another so that we can be the police of our own state. Because if you do not have police that crack down on laws, you got to come up with some sort of system. You got to have some sort of system. And the agenda of those who would like to dismantle Western civilization is to get us to turn on one another and police one another. That has never led any place good. This is California, by the way, and in case you missed that, half of college graduates are working high school level jobs after their graduation. Why do we bring this up? It's not to necessarily diss university education, although there is a lot to dislike about it. So many dangers, but an encouragement? There are plenty of other ways to make a living. And we Christians need to be willing to perhaps sometimes, not always, sometimes resist the pressure of the world and the church that says, where are you going to university? What are you going to study? Hey, you don't have to matriculate at a university. You can be discipled by somebody. You can become an apprentice to somebody. You can go to a tech school. There are plenty of ways to make a very good living that does not involve university. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.